Hello and welcome to episode 11, season 1 of The Purple Patch. Oz, I'm just looking at you a bit weird because I don't know if you've... Have you unmuted my mic, mate?
Yeah.
No, usually you press the M.
Yeah, it's good, mate. We're good.
It's all good? What are those two M's? Don't they mean mute?
Yeah, but I can unmute it later on.
Oh, mate, cheers. This is why I'm not in charge of the soundboard, mate. This is why I just have literally a notebook with scribblings like chook scratchings on it. Well, guys, look, it's going to be a little bit of a different pod today. It's fair to say we have to address what happened during the week on Tuesday.
Just a casual day.
Yeah, look, we had initial reactions on our... We had to do an emergency pod, obviously, on Tuesday afternoon. So, mate, we've done a pod Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, and now Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
And, you know, the news is still, to me, it's still rocking me. It's still sending me in. But I think it's what the listeners want to hear because this is a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by fans, by fans.
Correct.
For fans, by fans. You know, we're just a couple of battling fans, mate, although we may get little special passes, but we're literally fans. Like, we're punching each other during the games trying not to barrack too loud up in the media box. But, you know, I'm talking to Duff and Kingy and stuff like that. But look... The big news coming out of the week, the end of the era with Rossich and Ross, two guys that oversaw our most successful period at the club, taking us to a grand final in 13, preliminary final in 15 and the top of the table, moving to Coburn, moving to the new stadium, a number of significant, I think, recruits as well and signings and things like that. Nat Fyfe stayed at the club, like you forget about things like that.
Yeah,
you know, really overseeing the most successful period in Dockers history. And I think Michael Barlow put it the best on, he was on a podcast I listened to, the Fox Footy podcast, the only time I've ever listened to it. But he said essentially the Dockers were insignificant outside of WA, and Ross and Rossich really brought him into the forefront of, you know, the AFL, and we've become a powerhouse club, really.
Yeah, correct.
In that time, you know.
Both on and off the field.
Yeah, and yes, it has been on the wane, but even, you know, mate, doesn't matter if we're winning or losing. Ross always managed to, you know, drag me back, mate.
Yeah.
I understand why the board did what they did. I think, by the sounds of things, Ross didn't want a contract extension. I don't know, but he indicated that he didn't really want a contract extension. If you think back to the interview he did about, was it a month ago?
Yeah,
and he's like, you guys are making the assumption that I want to coach, I have to coach, and, you know, all this other stuff. But, you know, if you think about that, and he, you know, I don't know how old he is, actually. I should look that up, but I think he's getting on a bit. You know, he's in his 50s. So, look, you know, the idea of, you know, does he want to keep coaching? Does he have other interests? I mean, you can. He's been coaching now for 12 years straight.
Yeah. He's
you know, and
assistant.
Plus, if you've been assistant, like essentially for 20 years nearly as an assistant.
I was just about to say.
You know, it's been a long time. It's been a long time, man. And like, it's 24/7 coaching, mate. It's not, you know, at an elite level. It's not, oh, get my downtime, relax, da 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 da. It's 24/7, mate.
Yes.
And people are humans, and you know. So, look, in the end, we lose on the weekend. We literally win every sector.
Yeah.
Except for, in the end, it's the skill level. In the end, you know, and like the Dockers fans out there that are listening to this, you can't disagree with facts. And the fact is that our skill, especially by foot, was horrid. And we continued to butcher the ball, you know, and what was done about that, limited it seems to be. And that's where I've got a guy who I want to come over and be the assistant coach, the senior assistant, that's a little bit left field.
Okay, but, I like this.
Yeah,
we'll get to this in a second. I like it. Look, you know, before you get any further, one of the things that came out in the media was the timing of it. And I'd like to just, from my perspective, just discuss the idea that it was the right time. And the reason why I say that is, if the board has decided that they're not going to extend the contract, wouldn't it make sense, you know, at the end of the season, when you know at the first possible moment at which you are not going to make the finals, that you make that call?
Yeah.
And I know that there are permutations and suggestions as to why it was made and timing and all that sort of stuff. But to me, I see why the board has done it, but he was equally as stunned.
Yeah.
I was numb. That's what I said in the Purple Rain. I was numb.
I don't know a single Dockers person, and this goes all the way to probably the number one Dockers fan in the media, in Mark Duffield. He didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Mate, if a guy with all these connections doesn't see it coming, people at the club that we've spoken to didn't see it coming. Like, this was just swift and it was ruthless, but...
It speaks to the professionalism, though.
Like my brother said, mate, he said, look, you're not going to have him in 2021. What's the point of having him in 2020? And then you take that one step further. What's the point of having him for the extra week? You know, when you really think about that, if you've made the decision, you just got to cut the cord. It's got to be clean, cut the cord, get it done, you know? And I think I actually really respected all the press conferences.
Correct. I was just about to say that.
It was interesting because I've heard Mark Duffield talk about this, the idea of why did they do it this week and not next week. One of the things on Monday is going to be Graham Polifarmer's funeral. And, you know, obviously, if not the greatest player ever, certainly the greatest Western Australian, the most influential West Australian football player ever. And, you know, the Dockers didn't want to offset that and, you know, interrupt that and disrespect that. And, you know, maybe even if they did do it and it starts to leak, it's seen as sneaky. Oh, they're trying to hide it away when really, you know, everything on Monday next week has to be about Polifarmer, you know, like it's got to be about him. It can't be about, oh, the Dockers are sacking Ross and things like that, you know. And that would overshadow it, which it shouldn't. Yeah. And I think, you know, in a sense as well, a little bit of respect to the Dockers for that as well. But, mate, we got David Hale on the weekend coaching us, the tallest coach ever.
Yes. Well, there's a stat.
And apparently we're the first team ever to sack the coach and CEO in the same day.
Well, there's another stat.
As well. So we're market leaders, mate, when it comes to stuff like that.
Oh, but, boy.
Look, Oz, I know you want to talk about the CEO, mate, and potential replacement. So why don't you take the floor for a little bit, and then I'll talk about the coaches afterwards as
Yeah, look, I think the idea of talking about it from a fan's perspective, this is certainly a fan's perspective. It's not.
This is a couple of fair dinkum nuffies, mate, having a yarn.
Battlers, as they say. Now, bear with me, people. So when I think of a CEO, I think of a CEO as being a transformational leader. Now, what that means for me is someone who transforms the norms and values of your employees, and the leader is essentially the person, the CEO is the person who motivates the workers to perform beyond their expectations. That's my take. Leadership style of a CEO in this context should focus on the enhancement of the organizational involvement with the goals of the organization and then inspiring the vision from the perspective of being on top. Now, whoever fills this role has to be visionary, in my opinion. The board and CEO need to show transparency with the fans, especially about its strategic vision moving forward. And I think we've got the opportunity to be upfront about the non-negotiables that we could probably identify as being identifiables, if you will, like the KPIs. We can take advantage of the optimism. Now, earlier on, I was talking to people about going through that, you know, the seven stages of grief, effectively losing your coach, your CEO, and oh my gosh, what's going on? But I can't help it being a Freo fan that I'm optimistic now. I don't know if that's one of those things being a Dockers fan, but the fact that I'm optimistic, that if you multiply that by the Freo fans out there, you take advantage of that. So we now have a chance to be leaders when resetting the bar for the club, and that's effectively what we're going to be doing. So why not be industry leaders in the communication of the strategic vision of the club moving forward? And it has to be something that we can all embrace. The CEO also has to be ruthless in making the hard calls, especially on behalf of the board and the fans. And I think maybe there may have been a perceived misalignment towards the end of the previous CEO's tenure. But ultimately, I think, you know, you can't knock what has been achieved by Rosic in the past, and you know we're thankful for that, but the person that steps into the role has to be the vision and bring the club's vision to life. So here's a name I'm going to throw out there, the sort of person, Nick Marvin from the Wildcats.
Yes.
Now I'm not saying it necessarily has to be him, but if you think of someone who re-energized a franchise,
yes,
has made that particular franchise the leading franchise in that particular sport.
Oh, by mile.
By an absolute mile. But the standards that are set for players, the expectations that are set.
Community expectations.
The community expectations.
Yeah. The ruthlessness in the coaching decisions.
Yep.
I mean, they got rid of, what was his name? The guys at Illawarra?
Beveridge. Yeah.
Mate, didn't he win a championship? Yes, didn't he make it to finals?
Well,
and they're just like, they're like, nah, not up to our standards.
Well, he was considering that he was wanting to coach in China. That's a bit of a side note. But,
someone
with that skill set, someone like that, came into my mind. Now, I'm going to move on to the coach.
Like that, mate. Yeah. I heard him talk on 6PR.
Yeah.
Now, he's the chap who didn't know much about basketball.
Yeah.
And he was all about community engagement.
Correct.
Mate, he was brilliant.
Because his idea that you catch them early, you're breeding a generation of supporters.
Yeah.
You get them early.
And I think how many, the Wildcats have to do like 300 hours now. They started off, when he first came, they had to do 10 hours community service. And he changed that to 300 hours.
Yep.
So they had dockers. I'm talking dockers at schools, mate. Reading books, kicking footies.
Yep.
I love it. That's a great... That is... Oh, is that... I mean, if... If people at Dockers aren't listening to this,
I told you'd be excited by this,
and don't take that on board, I think that's a dead set. That's a winner, mate.
Mm.
All right, who else you got for me?
Okay, well, actually, you know what? No, I'm going to stop there because that's the sort of person.
Yeah,
I'm going to go to list recruitment manager.
Okay,
Banuk Kadidwaku.
Yeah.
Now let me give you a bit of a backdrop to this guy. If you haven't listened to the pod, I believe it's by Mark. Is it Mark McGowan?
Yeah.
Is it Trends?
Yeah, Trends. Yeah.
And
it's not Sneakers McGowan,
Premier.
It's Mark McGowan, the football writer.
And if you listen to that pod, and I've done a little bit of research on Banuk, this guy is as smart as a whip. But what I love about the fact that Belly sound this guy out and you know went into a little bit more research is we're talking about a guy who has actually worked outside of the AFL system and has industry knowledge across sports.
Mm.
So he's worked in the NFL. He's worked in the NBA with the Washington Wizards, both in analytics and in front office, and now working at Adelaide in analytics. And what I can tell you is the connections that he has with both like-minded industry recruitment managers as well as player agents is something that would really benefit the Freo Footy Club. Absolutely. Now, if you look at how successful we've been in recent times in attracting players to come over. So, you know, Lobb, Hogan, McCarthy, Wilson, Brad Hill. You know, these are big ticks for the club. Now, if you top that up with someone with his acute business acumen, we are now talking about a top-end franchise that has the ability to take the vision that, I go back to this notion of the vision of the club, that the Freo fans need to be able to embrace and see as tangible, something that they can live as well as just whatever the mantra is, they can live it. I think that's something that we could really get around. So I honestly believe we have to go hard at that. We have to go hard at Banuk.
Yeah.
That's my take on that. And then we're going to get to the discussion now on coaching, Duck, because I know you've got your opinion. And for me, The checklist clearly is obviously level four, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tick box, yeah. But I'd like someone who's been a servant at the not just the one club, but servant at multiple clubs.
Yep.
And has worked across different lines. So not just the back line, not just the forward line, you know, preferably across different lines, preferably someone who is a senior assistant, right?
Mm.
Who has been a senior assistant. Someone who is known for being a developer of talent.
Yep.
Who can communicate with players across different age groups. Someone who has to be uncompromising in terms of driving standards and expectations. And an understanding of where Freo has come from and where we are now.
Yeah.
That's important to understand the history of Freo. So for me, J-Lo's the obvious choice.
Yeah. I've got J-Lo down here, mate. And I know you'll be able to post-edit, but can you put in a bit of Let's Get Loud from J-Lo after this, mate? Because my Dockers chat has changed from, I think now hiring was our latest change. to J-Lo, Let's Get Loud, and shout out to you, Coops, who came up with that one, mate. But that's I think Justin Longmuir, mate, is an ideal fit for the Dockers.
Yep.
I think he's an ideal fit. Now, he needs a senior assistant.
Now, this...
You say your senior assistant, and then I want to come back at you with another senior assistant.
So, the senior assistant probably, for me, needs to be a little bit more experienced.
Yes.
So, in this context, there are probably three senior assistants that I think would be of benefit to the club. The most obvious is Peter Sumich.
Yep.
Obviously, he's worked across the various teams and has recently coached the State 18s. So, and has a knowledge of Freo, so that would be of benefit. But here are two names that perhaps haven't been mentioned that I think would be of benefit. Michael Voss.
Yes.
Now, Michael Voss is three-time Brisbane Lion Premiership captain. We know this. But in his tenure at both Port Adelaide and the Brisbane Lions, the word that's coming out is his unrelenting desire to be a successful coach of a successful franchise, of a successful club. Now, I'm going to throw something else out here. Justin Lepic.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I throw in Justin Lepic is his role in bringing Richmond to prominence in terms of his role. And do you know what line he was in charge of?
Defence?
Mm.
Nice.
So, Michael Voss, Justin Lepic know a little thing about winning premierships.
Mm.
And you don't think we'd be licking our lips potentially there. Now, before we get to you, Duck, I will just say the last thing about assistance for me, which is please don't think that hiring a head coach is going to solve everything.
Yeah.
Because it won't. What we need to do is surround the head coach with good assistant coaches.
Definitely.
And we want the assistant coaches to be on board, obviously, with the message and the vision of the coach and the club. And these all need to be in alignment. This is why I'm buoyant. This is why I'm motivated. I'm excited because we've got a chance to realign the club potentially with fans, with the CEO, with the club, the on-field club, and just get pretty much everyone involved on the same path.
Yeah.
It's like a reset button.
Yeah.
And as a Freo supporter, mate, this is exciting times. Now, you know, I understand what's happened has happened, but I'm looking forward now.
Mm.
And I can't begin to tell you how quickly I've gone from being relatively numb and disappointed, you know, with, oh, what are we going to do, to, all right, let's look forward.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you there were a ton of Freo fans out there that will be thinking the same. Now, more importantly, hit me up. What have you got?
Okay, so was it yesterday? Yesterday I went for a nice walk and then played two games of soccer. But while I was on my walk, mate, I listened to a podcast that I know you listen to as well called Sacked.
Yes.
Okay, and they talked to a senior coach, premiership coach, by the name of Mark Choco Williams, mate. To me, the senior assistant, along with Justin Longmuir, there needs to be an extension to Mark Choco Williams. Now, his health in recent years hasn't been great. He's back now coaching at Werribee. Mate, he coached at Port Adelaide. His win rate there was 55% plus a premiership. Obviously, it dropped off towards the end of the year, end of his career. Mate, he was essentially the head coach at GWS in the early days, so he knows about player development. He knows how to talk to those young players and get the most out of them. But the thing that had me licking my lips, mate, this is a guy. One, he's a phys ed teacher. He actually taught Alan Richardson, which I found quite funny.
But oh,
mate, this is a guy who has a premium on skills. He's a guy who's developed talent at Richmond, Lambert, Castagna, like all these guys who are pretty much unknowns he worked with. Dustin Martin took him to the next level.
Mm.
Mate, he's a guy who's actually developed a football, okay, to teach people how to kick properly. Now, if we go back and we think, all right, the reason why we lost games, and the reason why Ross Lyon is no longer at the club, the main reason, if you talk to anyone in the street, it's our skills. Our skills are terrible. They're deplorable.
Mm.
And, you know, kicking efficiency 18th in the league, kicking rate 17th in the league, shot or goal accuracy 17th, scores inside 50 16th from inside 50s, ball retention per kick inside 50 10th. You know, if we can get someone who improves our skills by 10%, 10%.
That's all now,
that
takes.
Doesn't seem like much.
No, but that's...
But if we can improve those skills, and you've got to think, mate, all right, everyone talks about this coaching tree of Alistair Clarkson. Okay? Who was Alistair Clarkson? Who was Alex Clarkson assistant for? Who did he start off with?
Yeah.
Jocko Williams at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, that's correct.
Who did Jocko Williams also bring across? Damien Hardwick. Okay? So, Jocko Williams is the original coaching tree. He starts it, in a sense. Okay? So... You've got a guy there.
Godfather of the tree.
You've got a guy there who I think still has a passion to be in the AFL system, has a premium on skills, something that we desperately need to improve, is a proven coach and a proven senior coach, has proven to be a very, very, very good assistant coach at Richmond. Players love him. Players get around him. He's got guys like Dusty Martin, and turned around their careers. You know, he embraces them. He gets around them. He has a strong connection, like he says on the thing as well, to the Indigenous guys in his team, which Dockers have a lot of. Okay. So he's a guy, mate, that I think is just there. And, like, he's a bloke. He's so funny. On the thing, he was like, mate, I would have done the Melbourne job for half what Roosie got paid. You know, and he actually nearly got the senior job at Essendon. Before Hurd did, at St Kilda, before Richardson did, at Melbourne, before Ruse did. So, like, mate, it's not as if he's this guy who doesn't know anything. He's a guy who can teach our younger players to become better. He can teach our current players, our older players even, to become better. He can improve that skill level to where it needs to be because, I mean, I was listening to Duff and Quarters podcast before we started on air. Duff is like, if we just kick one more goal a game, we would be in finals.
Yeah.
Just one more goal.
It's mental.
That's all we need. Yeah,
it's mental.
You know, classic. We just need one more goal. But, you know, you look on the weekend. Contested ball, dominated that. Possession, dominated that. Inside 50s, dominated that. We just couldn't keep going.
110% effort.
Mm.
Add the skill.
Add that skill. Add that little bit of chocolate on top. All right, guys, let's go to a break. When we come back, we're just going to do a quick preview of the game. And we're going to finish off with a dual citizen. Just a bit of a treat to end up. Welcome back to episode 11, season 1 of The Purple Patch, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by Freo fans, for Freo fans. If you want to listen about the game that's upcoming, which I think, you know, it's going to be interesting, guys, because, like, realistically, if you think about it, I think going into the game, if Ross is still in charge, I'll watch the game because we got the podcast, but I won't be engrossed in the game. Whereas now... Hail coaching, you know, maybe we see something new. It's a little bit more, got a little bit more spice about it. So 2:40 p.m. at Adelaide Oval, where we've had a pretty poor run. I think we're 1-10 since, you know, and we've even in Adelaide, we generally don't do that well. The 10-11 Port Adelaide take on the 9-12 Freo Dockers. In the last five, both teams are 2-3. Port Adelaide obviously got belted last week against... North Melbourne and kept the door ajar, and then the Dockers slammed it shut. Slammed that final door shut. Mate, just on the teams, do you want to read out just the ins and outs, and then we'll talk about the interchange and who do you think will get picked?
Absolutely. All right. So for the Fremantle Dockers, ins are Bailey Bounfield, Brett Bewley, Jason Carter, Travis Collier, Scott Jones, and Ryan Nairhouse. And the outs at this stage, Hayden Ballantyne is listed as rested, and Aaron Sandilands, who's rested, obviously, for the last game of the season.
Yeah, those guys both
absolute
retiring.
Stalwarts of the club. We salute you. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the win, guys, but thank you very much.
What does it say retired? What does it say rested?
I don't know.
Mate, so obviously the interchange is Banners, Bewley, Carter, Collier, Jones, Niehaus, and Schultz. Schultz and Crowd. So, mate, who are the four you pick from there?
The four I've got, mate, I've got Brett Bewley, I've got Ryan Niehaus, I've got Jason Carter, and I'm going to go with Bailey Banfield.
Okay, interesting. So, mate, I've gone with these guys. Jason Carter off the halfback flank, give us a bit of run and carry and dash, and I think he's a little bit harsh to get dropped. He's only a young fella. Trav Collier.
Hey.
I want him back. He's played a good month of footy for Peel, mate, and, you know, like, guys have come in and out, but let's just see how he goes. Big Scotty Jones as a backup for Darcy, and Ryan Niehaus. I like Niehaus, man. I think Niehaus... I don't know, man. Like,
if you look at his efficiency statistics, he's actually one of the better kicks in the competition.
Yeah, and what did David King call the back six? The skillless six, I think it was. So, look, Niehaus might add a little bit. And, you know, he plays well on small forwards. And plus, you know who will be sleeping with the nightlight on this week, mate, if Niehaus is playing? Robbie Gray. Remember, he tackled him and got 3 weeks because no one knows who Niehaus is. Got 3 weeks for, like, a slam tackle. Mate, just on to Port Adelaide. How about these names that are coming in? Drew, Dersma, Frampton, Lysette, Mays, McKenzie, and Sutcliffe.
There's a couple of names I know there, mate.
The accountant's back for him. Butters, Cleary, and Laddams is out. Mate, look, interesting game. We're not going to do any matchups because they still haven't announced the team. So, look, I think it's going to be tight, hopefully. Hopefully we put in a really good effort and put up a good show. But, I mean...
Well, you know what they say.
As well, like,
there's always a bounce back.
But Oz, like, it's not as if as well the effort hasn't been there in the last... Like, we're playing with a skeleton of a team a lot of the time, but the last 3 weeks, we beat Geelong, we just lose to St Kilda, and we win every sector except for kicking goals against Essendon.
I still don't understand how that works.
But the effort's been there every time. It's just a matter of, can we convert? What's the skills like? What's the... So the game plan won't change too much, you wouldn't think, under David Hale?
Yeah, look, I would say... Probably a couple of things might change, but in terms of the freer ball movement, perhaps. Mm. But I would say, in terms of a legacy left by Ross, I think the uncompromising effort is something that, you know, you can build around, but then you now focus looking forward on.
I would personally like to see maybe a couple of things. Fife play a little bit more up forward, and I know he's a contested beast. Blakely playing the guts a bit more.
Yes.
Chera and Brayshaw play. Let's get those three guys in the guts. Let's have guts. Those three, maybe Chera and Brayshaw rotating a bit, and Fife and Walters rotating mid forward.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that we didn't see Hugh Dixon, Sam Sturt,
Tom North
included.
Tobe Watson
as
the
well.
The guys who haven't played a game. I mean, what is this game? Yes, you've got to have integrity and pride in the jumper and all that kind of stuff and integrity in team selection. But, I mean, we're not playing for anything, man. Like, and to be honest, St Kilda playing Sydney, St Kilda win, Dockers lose. We flip spots in the draft. You know, like, that's about, I did it online. It's about, I think, about 50 or 70 points or something like that. Yeah. I have to look on my... thing what the points difference are, but it's actual points that towards Liam Henry that could become costly.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like in terms of trading, you can trade this pick for these two picks. I've done a bit of a deep dive, and don't tell me October isn't Docker's time.
Oh, this is
don't
our time to show me. You know, we're excited for the Pepper Rain.
We're a month away. We're a month away.
Excited for the Pepper
Get through
Rain
the finals. After the finals. That is our time. Hey mate, look, let's finish, guys, on a real positive note. Let's talk about a dual citizen. Now, mate, if this ain't the all-time dual citizen, and he's got a special place in the Purple Rain fans' heart.
Yes.
But that's a man we like to call 2 more years. Daniel Pearce.
2 more years.
Guys, if you haven't listened before, the reason we called Daniel Pearce 2 more years is when we started the podcast, we obviously went into a bit of a hole. And Daniel Pearce was given a 2-year contract extension for reasons I don't know. But, you know, fair dues to say that he was a part of the re-wire, re-stump, re-plumb, and he probably shouldn't have been. But anyway, that's life. Mate, from 2005, sorry, to 2012, played at Port Adelaide, 154 games, 76 goals. From 13 to 18, he played at the Dockers, 104 games and 51 goals. Came over as a restricted free agent, which was quite interesting. One of the first free agents, I think, there was. Mate, in 2014, he came ninth in the Fairest and Best. 2015, he came eighth. In 2014, he led the league in inside 50s. With 122 inside 50s. Now, Oz.
Here we go.
Over his career, he had 1,174 inside 50s. From that, he had 153 goal assists.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
That's 13%. That's 13 in every 100.
Yep. The volume's there.
Now,
volume's there.
He had 122 during 2014 for 17 goal assists.
Yep.
So about the same. So, look, is that something that when we look back at those stats and we look back at what we've got here,
yeah,
and we look at the guys on the out, like, I don't know what the career, I don't know what the AFL average is.
Yeah.
I've got no statistics to back it up, but I would think.
But let me counter with this.
Yeah.
When Daniel Pearce came over to the club, the average looking football player increased exponentially.
Oh, he's a good looking
He's a very good looking man.
The other thing is as well, Oz, which is quite interesting, we obviously won the Peel Thunders Fairest and Best last year, but the one thing that we loved about Daniel Pearce more than anything, mate, as a Dockers supporter, is that any time someone was having a shot at goal.
Oh, wait, do I still have this?
Piercy.
No, I think I got rid of it.
Mate, you might be able to underlay it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'll underlay it.
But Piercy would just go up and give it a little bit of... He'd give some careless whispers, guys. Go back and watch any game from 2013 to 2018 that Daniel Pearce played in. Anytime someone marks it and has a shot for goal, he's in their ear.
Oh, boy.
He is in their ear telling them, kick it through the big ones.
And you need someone to do that.
Big ones.
Because if you don't have someone whispering in your ear,
big ones.
If you don't have someone whispering in your ear, what do? You just end up trying to lay it off.
Yeah.
So maybe we
have
miss
that confidence.
Maybe we miss that.
How many goals would Cam Mack kicked on the weekend if he had careless in his ear giving
six.
Him?
Six.
Kick the goal. Oh.
You've got
kick
the talent. Kick the goal.
Is that what we miss?
I think so.
Is a careless whisperer.
I think so.
Who will come back as the careless whisperer? All right, guys, in what's been a massive week for the club, this is our last episode for the year. Thank you very much for the Freo Footy Club and the guys in the media team that allowed us to do this. And
if we don't get fired, we'll be back next year.
Yeah, and your CEO, new CEO might boot us. I don't know. Mate, how do we get fired? We're not getting paid. I mean, they just don't give us tickets, I guess. But look, thank you very much to everyone down at Freo Footy Club for allowing us to do this. And thank you
absolute
the fans
treat.
Who are here listening, going through it with us. You know, like, we're just
two battlers.
We're hurting
just as much as you are.
And we're just confused and, you know, we're just like trying to get through this as well. But remember, guys, one, October is our time.
Oh, yeah.
Two, you know, there's always next year in footy, and it's the best thing about football. It's always next year. And, you know, like, you think about it. Like I said, we improve our skills by 5 or 10%. We are deep in the finals.
This could really possibly be, looking forward, this could possibly be the most exciting part of Fremantle history. You name another football club that's doing what we're doing, baby.
Yeah. All right, guys. Finally, thank you to Ross and Rossich, who are probably listening to this.
Yep.
Appreciate
everything that you've done for the club.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And guys, we'll hopefully see you next year for some more Purple Patch. If you want to listen to another podcast, Purple Rain is our podcast we do on Mondays, which is our independent one. Free of the Dockers. Free of the shackles of the Dockers. No, we're exactly the same. So, guys, listen to that. And we're at PurpleRain95 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you want to hit us up on social media. And subscribe, rate, and review everywhere you find your podcasts.
Thanks, guys. Love your work.